So there you go, a 21-14 win for the Raiders. They get to 3-0, and they'll be one of those teams that is just going to annoy everybody in that Mount Hood Conference. Just the team that you're just – you don't want – you look at Reynolds, if you're a Central Catholic, if you're a Clackamas, you just see them on the schedule and you think, okay, we'll take care of business, but they're a team that if you're not ready for them, if you are not prepared – they will put some points on you.
No doubt. I mean, they're a good football program, and maybe they're not a state title contender, but they're certainly going to be, as you said, kind of a pest all year.
So tell you what, let's take a break. When we come back, let's get to the recruiting news that you had a little bit earlier and whatever other nuggets and tidbits. There's still several games that are coming down in the fourth quarter, so we will need to get as many scores as we can here. But I want to talk a little recruiting as well, what's going on, Ducks, Beavers, and maybe what you guys are working on for the recruiting show coming up. I know it's an interesting period. You think we're in the middle of the season now. It should be hot in recruiting, but with the early signing period now for the seniors, pretty much everybody that was going to get a big-time offer kind of has it and has their commitments, and they're just riding out till December unless something significant changes with an injury or a school comes out of nowhere that they weren't expecting to offer them. So we're kind of focused on the junior class at this point, but we'll get your thoughts there with that. And then we'll look at 10 o'clock. We're still looking to get right into the scoreboard there. And whenever they wrap up over on 9-10 with the Washougal Woodland game, Luke Anderson going to join us as well, give us a wrap from that game and see what's going on with the Greater St. Helens schools. A lot of them on the road tonight as well. Once again, our final here was Westland 55, Sheldon 14. We continue on with the Les Schwab Tires postgame scoreboard show on 1080 The Fan.
You know us, we know football. And all the stadium parking lots you're peeling out of right now. The Les Schwab Tires postgame scoreboard show on the Power Rents Game of the Week on 1080 The Fan, the radio.com app, and 1080thefan.com.
Back here at Westland High School, where the Lions had a parade to the end zone all night long, 55-14. Ethan Coleman, 334 yards, 5 touchdowns, 2 of those to Casey Tawa as they take Sheldon behind the woodshed. We mentioned, though, 3 of the best players, 2 great skill players, and one of their best linemen out injured. And so they were playing with one arm tied behind their back most of the game. But as we mentioned here in the Les Schwab Tires postgame scoreboard show, our game finished up a little early. We got to a running clock situation, so it gives us an opportunity to take advantage of Andrew Nemec, a recruiting expert for us and the Oregonian and OregonLive.com. You can hear him every Thursday night, 7 o'clock here on The Fan with the recruiting show. But you had big news earlier for those that missed it, a big night for the Ducks.
Yeah, they were waiting on the commitment of Braden Swinson, who visited this past weekend for the Montana game. He visited with Mom. Mom's big concern was the travel. He's from Georgia. That's a long way from home, so she wanted to feel good about it. She said all the right things on the show last night. We had both her and her son on the show last night, and she said it really felt like a family feel. So tonight, after his homecoming game, he announces his commitment to Oregon over Arizona State, Florida State, Missouri, and North Carolina. Braden Swinson, a 3-star defensive end with over 25 scholarship offers, again, out of the state of Georgia, 6'4", 245 pounds. And suddenly we're looking at it, and Oregon has 20 commitments already. They're 80% of the way done with this recruiting class, and they're looking at kind of adding the final pieces. And one of the things they wanted was an athletic, versatile defensive end, and they got it in Braden Swinson. So a nice big get out of the state of Georgia for the Oregon Ducks.
Now, are they expecting most of these guys to sign in December?
Yeah, and Swinson's a guy who is ahead academically. He intends to enroll early, so he should be there for spring. He'll be there for spring practices. Again, Oregon wants their, particularly linemen, but really anybody that can come early to come and be a part of things quickly, and Swinson's going to be that guy for them. A nice get for them, and a guy that can add depth right away, or within, you know, he's months away from adding depth to the program.
Well, Oregon State obviously with a bye this week, so we expect Coach Smith and his assistants to be on the road here this weekend, scouting in as much as they can. Is there an agenda for them, or are they out? You know, kind of where are they at in the process here?
Well, they're at 13 or 14 commitments, so they've got a ways to go. But you also have to remember they're going to be transfer you for a while. So you expect them to have smaller classes and get some transfers. During the bye week, they wanted to hit as many in-state games as they possibly could. So Coach Jonathan Smith, perfect timing on the schedule for them. Tualatin's playing McNary. That may not seem like a huge game, except they have two in-state commitments, Tualatin linebacker John Miller and McNary linebacker Junior Walling. They were playing each other in Salem. So a short drive, he gets to see both of his commitments and also probably get a look at Luke Marion. Luke Marion, one of the only uncommitted senior prospects who really has a chance to end up with a Pac-12 offer. His dad, Brock Marion, played on those really good 1990s Dallas Cowboys team in the secondary with Deion Sanders. And Luke has been phenomenal so far this year. He's blocked a kick. He has a pick six. He has offers already from Nevada and Utah State. We could be looking at a late Pac-12 offer for him, so they get a chance to see him in person. Coach Michael Petrie was at Jefferson High School, the running back coach, to check out Demir Collins. And there aren't a lot of 2021 kids, but Demir Collins is the number two all-purpose back in the entire country. He already has offers from Oregon and Oregon State. So he gets Petrie gets a chance to look at potentially a guy that they're definitely going to make a focal point in 2021. And then Coach Cookus went to that Westview Jesuit game. We talked about that earlier in the show. Yes, Andy Alfieri's out. Jesuit, you always want to keep up the relationship with that program because they've always got a few guys. But the Westview team has some 2022 and even 2021 guys who have a chance to pop. And the leader and the headliner of that group is Darius Clemens. He's already is a 2022 wide receiver, already has offers from Oregon, Oregon State, and Michigan State. Recently picked up some interest from Washington. He's going to have most of the Pac-12. So Oregon State coaches were out in full force trying to check out the in-state talent, and I really think that's what you need to do. Build a nucleus with transfers and JC kids, particularly in the trenches, because we just don't grow that big here. And then make sure that you really blanket the in-state kids, because right now there's a gap between what Oregon is recruiting. I mean, Oregon, Casey Philkins and Andy Alfieri were guys they offered, but they weren't top priorities. Those would be phenomenal gets for Oregon State, and that's just the reality. I'm not knocking. I love those kids.
No, it's just where the two programs are at.
It's just where the two programs are at. Oregon's recruiting at a top 10 program nationally. Oregon State's outside the top 50 for several years in a row. So they would love to get those Casey Philkins and Andy Alfieri's. If they can start winning some games and maybe fill that gap, they can actually get a higher caliber kid than what their record would indicate, because Oregon's not really going after those kids. Yeah. So there's potential in the next couple years that they can win some games that we start suddenly seeing like, hey, Oregon State landed three of the top four kids in the state of Oregon. That would be great progress for them when paired with their transfers and their JC additions.
You talked about Marion down at McNary being one of the remaining kind of undeclared, uncommitted kids that could get a, you know, a look from somebody at the FBS level. Are there, as for the senior class at this point, are there any seniors that you're looking at that could be late, or at this point are we back to big sky sort of situations, just hoping to get offers from somewhere?
I mean, there are a couple kids out there where you kind of wonder what's going on with their recruitment, like a Richard Kennewell out of Clackamas, the wide receiver, first-team All-State wide receiver last year. I actually like him better at outside linebacker. I just feel like the Mountain West should go on him. He doesn't even have FCS offers, and it's to the point where I've asked him just candidly, like, hey, man, are your grades just did you kick somebody's dog? Like, what is going on? And he's like, I have no idea. He's a great football player. He's one of the best. I mean, sometimes the high school film doesn't quite match what the kid is as a prospect or something. He's been highly productive in high school. He's got the body measurements. He's a good student athlete. I don't get it. That one blows me away. And then the other guy, it's more of a position issue in modern college football offenses issue. Logan Horton is still uncommitted. He's the number one fullback in America. And I talked to a guy who's really good at evaluating fullbacks. And he said, seriously, if this were the 80s, he would have offers from Alabama and LSU. It's not just there aren't any good fullbacks. He jumps out as an elite fullback prospect. He just came like 20 or 30 years too late. Logan Horton, of course, if a fullback is good on the West Coast and he really is legitimately good, who's looking at him? Stanford. Yep. And Stanford is all over Logan Horton out of Jesuit. I think that makes a lot of sense for that fit. Those are really the only two guys that I'm taking a real hard look at right now from the senior class.
So where are we at in the recruiting calendar? What are you working on for the recruiting show coming up next Thursday?
We don't know who the visitors are for next week, so it's always tough to get me like several days ahead. We definitely want to look at Oregon State released their recruiting violations, their self-reported recruiting violations for the year. And we got a chance to look at those. Darkins and I looked at those. They were all very minor. Some of them were really funny. And, because the NCAA cracks down on ridiculous stuff. Like, at one point, the booking agent said, hey, actually, because you're supposed to do the cheapest flights. Athletes are only supposed to fly coach. For some reason, there was a deal on first-class seats on their flight, and first-class was cheaper than coach. So they were given first-class seats. That's a recruiting violation. So Oregon State had to self-report.
Another time,
you're not allowed to call at a certain point juniors in high school, but you can call seniors in high school. So an Oregon State coach called a kid and realized it immediately. As soon as he hit call, he hung up. But it technically rang. That's a recruiting violation. They never spoke. So we'll go over. Oregon should release theirs very soon. They're always funny. I don't expect anything major, but those are always fun to go over. So we'll get a kick out of those like we did for Oregon State. Again, if you're Oregon State, I think everybody remembers they accidentally sent, and it makes sense. People don't follow it very closely, but Oregon accidentally sent mail to Hawaii. It actually makes sense the way that it happened. It seems like, how could you make that mistake? It's actually a fairly common mistake. It's just that Hawaii decided to like make a huge deal out of it. They basically got a clean bill of health. We'll look at Oregon's and laugh about that. We'll also try to get an update. Oregon hosted those 2 5-star basketball recruits. We'll find out how things are going with those guys.
So that's all coming up next week, Thursday, 7 o'clock. It sounds like we heard from our IT guys who have been working nonstop around the clock that we might be able to get back to our regular podcasting schedule. So hopefully you and Jordan will be in sometime middle of the week, closer to Wednesday, I'm guessing, than Tuesday. But we'll see if we can get one in.
We're going to do it either Wednesday or we'll either do it Wednesday or Thursday to make sure that we've got the time. But as long as we can, we'll recap the Week 3 action, preview Week 4. Again, we apologize for not being able to do one for this week's stuff. But we will try to do that here for next week.
Well, before we get to our scoreboard, looks like they're all wrapped up over there in Woodland. Southwest Washington Game of the Week on our sister station, 910 ESPN Portland. Luke Anderson on the line with us. Luke, how did things go between that 2A clash, Washougal and Woodland?
The game was Brevin B., inside linebacker, wide receiver, played some wildcat quarterback for Washougal. He had 3 touchdowns, 2 on the ground, caught another one. And I don't know how many tackles he had, but it felt like on every defensive play we were calling his name, just wreaking havoc on the Woodland offense. Brevin B., our player of the game, and Washougal wins 47-21.
And so have you had a chance to check in on the rest? I know a lot of teams in the Greater St. Helens League were on the road tonight getting their last non-league games in before the league kicks in. Have you had a chance to see kind of what else has been going on around the Greater St. Helens League?
Yeah, keeping an eye on scores. Evergreen lost in the first game out at McKenzie Stadium, 41-17. Lakewood with the victory. Hudson's Bay falls to WF West, 51-7. Camas had a running clock in the second quarter against West Valley in Yakima. They ended up winning 45-14. Mount Si in the fourth quarter has a lead over Skyview, 31-20. Union also trailing in the fourth quarter to Eastlake. They're down 24-8. Kelso with a 27-7 lead over Heritage right now in the fourth quarter. Mountain View able to beat Battleground. They won 24-13. Prairie gets another nice victory. Prairie played this Washougal team last week and kind of shut down their offense that really didn't have any resistance this week. But Prairie beat Black Hills, a really good team up by the Tumwater area. They beat them 50-14, so a team to keep your eye on at the 3A level in Greater St. Helens League is the Prairie Falcons. Seton Catholic gets a 14-6 victory over Fort Vancouver. Fort Vancouver, normally a 3A team, but they're playing an independent schedule this year, try to get their program back on solid footing before they go. We had two other contests between 2A teams in the Greater St. Helens League. Columbia River gets a 35-18 win over Richfield. And Hawkinson, who we're actually going to watch next week against Columbia River, at Hawkinson for our game of the week, they beat R.A. Long 62-14 up in Longview. Mark Morris, the final team at the 2A level, played 1A Stevenson. It's the second quarter is the latest score update I have. They were up 21-0 in that game. Le Center, who beat Woodland last week, beat Hoquiam 48-14. And then Montesano with a 40-7 lead over Columbia White Salmon in the third quarter. And Castle Rock is up on Tenino. The last score update we had was at halftime. That was a 35-7 lead for the Rockets.
So next week, back to Hawkinson. What are you looking forward there?
Well, I mean, it's Columbia River is one of the biggest 2A schools in the state, and certainly the biggest in the conference, and they'll be playing against Hawkinson. They're the second smallest 2A school that we have, but of course Hawkinson, the power. Columbia River has been, you know, the bridesmaid over the last handful of years. So, but Columbia River's played some really fun, really tough games at Hawkinson. So just seeing if Hawkinson can straighten out the mistakes that we saw last week when we watched him play Archbishop Murphy. R.A. Long hasn't been competitive with Hawkinson for years, so I don't know that the 62-7 win for Hawkinson this week is a great indicator of what we'll see next week. Hopefully Columbia River can put a little bit more pressure on him.
And, of course, Center and the Saint tomorrow, 9-11, getting us all set up for the Ducks opening up conference play. What do you got cooking tomorrow morning?
Well, we had a little bit of an upset. Number 10, Utah, fell to USC tonight. USC playing with a third-string quarterback, so we'll kind of go over what that means for the Pac-12. And then we'll get ready for some Pac-12 action for the Ducks, of course. And then big news from the NFL, Antonio Brown without a team once again. We'll get to all of that and more tomorrow morning on the Center and the Saint.
All right, Luke Anderson, thanks so much for checking in with us. And listening tomorrow
morning. That's the best part of my night, Swag.
We'll go get a meal, get some sleep, rest up tomorrow. We'll listen in 9 a.m. Center and Saints, starting off our coverage leading into Ducks and Stanford at 4. Thanks so much, Luke.
Yeah, you guys have a great night. Thanks, Swag.
All righty, Luke Anderson there. You'll hear him tomorrow morning. He's kind of the mayor of Clark County. We call him the mayor of Clark County.
Do you?
Yeah.
The mayor of Clark County?
The mayor of Clark County.
That's cool.
So
what am I? I'm not the mayor of anything.
Wow. Oh, it's okay. Well, there's no mayors in counties, which is part of the fun.
Oh. See, now I don't feel as bad. See, yeah. I didn't know that. See, I don't really know. Luke Popma, by the way, just hit me up. He went home. He's 10 minutes away. See, he's going to come in and maybe catch the end of the show. Come up in the booth and hang out for a few minutes. For real. The offensive lineman from West Lynn is on his way in. Luke Popma committed to Georgetown. I think he's one of the best two or three senior offensive tackles in the entire state. He said, I want to come in. So I didn't invite him. He's a great kid. We're happy
there
to have
go.
Him.
So well, we'll find a microphone minutes. For him. And then
he can have mine.
Put him on, for crying out loud. Tell you what, it's that time. Things are really starting to go final. There's a few scores we're still looking for, but we're going to take a break. Mike Lynch will have a SportsCenter update. As you mentioned, USC upsetting Utah in pure Pac-12 fashion. A couple other of games tonight in news from the NFL, so he'll have that for you. And then we will be back as we try and rally up all the finals that are coming in now from action around Oregon. Tonight, our final score here once again, a West Lynn 55, Sheldon 14. We roll on Les Schwab Tires postgame scoreboard show here on 1080 The Fan.
We're back with reports on tonight's high school football action across Oregon and Southwest Washington, and sports scores and headlines from across the country. The Les Schwab Tires postgame scoreboard show on the Power Rents Game of the Week on 1080 The Fan, the radio.com app, and 1080thefan.com.
Back here at West Lynn High School as the score's starting to come in. We'll have our scoreboard here in just a moment, but sticking around, left tackle for the Westland Lions, Luke Popma here, an impromptu appearance. Thanks for sticking around. Coming up, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations. A big win here tonight. I was talking with Coach Miller kind of in the pregame, just getting a sense, thanking him for helping out with information through the week, and he kind of had a sense. He said, no, my guys are ready to explode tonight. Sheldon was a little banged up. You guys had no sympathy for him. But after that tough opener with Central Catholic, you guys get healthy against McNary. What was the feeling coming in tonight that had Coach so positive?
Well, tonight for us, it was personal. They knocked us out of the playoffs last year, and we went 0-2 against them. And they're a wounded animal, and we were showing no mercy tonight. Played a full 48 minutes, and came what we needed to do.
We look at this team, and you come into the preseason and even coming into week one. You guys played Central Catholic, who's really senior-laden. You guys have some seniors in some key spots, but you also have some young guys. It feels like of all the teams that were in the top 10 in week one, that you guys have the most potential for growth. So if people look at that Central Catholic loss, they think, oh, Central Catholic's the better team. You guys still feel like there's a whole lot more growth in your team, and you're going to be a different team by the end of the year than week one.
Yeah, absolutely. We actually got some guys coming back injury-wise, and we've been improving every single day in practice. It's a lot different energy than it was last year, and we're doing something special here.
The offensive line play at Westland really has been elite for years, and I've talked to Alex Forsyth about it, who's now at Oregon. He talks about kind of it being a fraternity, that you guys are all still close, you all talk, there's some tips given, things like that. How personally does the O-line group take doing their job the right way and doing it well at Westland High School?
Oh, it's something we take great pride in every single day. We're holding each other to a high standard, and we're not letting mistakes fall through the cracks. We try to be the best we can. It starts with the O-line. We want it to be that way.
Luke Popma is our guest left tackle here for Westland, the senior. You guys, you're looking ahead. You haven't even got to league play yet, and it's a gauntlet. This Three Rivers League over the last few years is just – can it wear on you, understanding that pretty much the entire league's probably going to have a chance to make the playoffs, depending on how well you do will be how long you have home field advantage maybe in there. But how much has this league the last few years prepared you guys for the playoffs?
It's a grind every week, and there's really no weeks off with us. You look at our competition, and as you say, it's the SEC of Oregon football. And having the toughest schedule in the entire state, it prepares you for week 12, 13, and 14. And we're not necessarily playing for the next game. Obviously, we are. We're trying to get a dub. But we always have that state championship in our mind, and going against the best guys we can allows us to get better every single week.
Well, now you're set up. You had some new guys, new quarterback obviously coming in with Ethan Coleman. You guys gave him tons of protection tonight. But how does that relationship go when you've got somebody? I know he's been in the program, so you've worked with him in practice and camps and those sorts of things. But when somebody steps in for the first time there and they're running the show, how does that affect? How do you guys build the relationship between a new quarterback and the offensive line?
I'd say we have a lot of confidence in each other. It goes both ways. We've been playing with him since freshman year. Left tackle, left guard, and center, we've known him for a long time, and I'd say that's the same thing with our receivers. It's a really close bond, and it's confidence each way. You see him standing in the pocket and believing in us, and we believe in him to make the throws when they count.
We look at the top 10 in 6A, and coming into the year, there was no team in the top 10 that returned their quarterback and their primary play caller. Every team in the top 10 lost either their starting quarterback or their primary play caller. So every team to some extent is starting from scratch in that way, or at least having some adversity to overcome. So where you look for where the advantages are. And one of the things that comes up when you look at the state of Oregon this year is there are haves and have-nots when it comes to offensive line and defensive line play. Westland is absolutely up front, one of the haves. What does it mean to you that this could be a year truly in this state where not a quarterback, not a running back, not receiver, but play in the trenches is probably going to define who wins the state title this year?
Yeah, it means a lot. I'd say one of the things that's underappreciated for the casual football fan is that O-line, D-line play. There's a lot of different fronts, blitzes, and schemes every single week you go against. And playing O-line, it's just something to look forward to and something you should pay attention to. Because with that O-line, you got big holes for running and you got pass time for passing.
Luke Popma, our guest there. So I know you're focused on this season right now, but what are your plans for the future? They always say the offensive linemen are the smartest guys on the team. So, oh, there it is, Hoya football right there. Is that all wrapped up for you?
Yes, I actually committed to Georgetown, I think, like 15 days ago or something like that. I'm really excited about it. I think I got a great spot for
it. It's a beautiful campus.
It's a gorgeous campus. I've been there a couple of times, and, yeah, there's buildings that are 200 years old, so careful when you sit on furniture there, make sure. But congratulations to you. Thanks so much for taking a few minutes for coming up and saying hi, and congratulations on the win tonight.
All right, thank you so much for having me.
There you go. Luke Popma, our guest here, left tackle for the West Lynn Lions. We'll let him get out of here. I'm sure he's got a date, got a party, got something to go to tonight to celebrate. So we appreciate you stopping by. We've got more work to do, so we got to get through the scores. So if you want to stick around and hang out.
Yeah, let him stick around. Let him
All right.
He wants
all
to
right.
hang out.
Well, the drum corps stayed up late with us, so Mike, fire them up. Mike, if we miss something and you've got it, just pipe right in. As always, we do start at the 6A with a top 10 level. Number 2, Tualatin, improves to 3-0, 52-27 over McNary, a team you guys saw last week with a 49-14 victory. Tualatin, I think people were expecting them to be good, didn't know how good. I think they were at the bottom of the top 10 early on, other than Nemec here.
I tried to tell people, man, I had him in the top 4 to start the year along with West Lynn.
They've been lights out. They improved to 3-0 early in the season for the Timberwolves. Jesuit, a big 50-6 win over Westview. So Jesuit now 2-1. Westview getting their first loss of the season. And Central Catholic, after the Eastside game we had last week, they bounce right back with a 67-6 win over the Olympians from Sprague. So Central Catholic, Jesuit, Tualatin, all with big wins. Mike, if you've got a Lake Oswego OC final, I know the Lakers were in control of that game, but let us know. So it looked like the top 4 teams there doing their business. How much do you keep an eye on what's going on, especially with 2 of those teams in your conference?
Yeah, we pay attention to the scores, what we've been looking forward to. Obviously, Lake Ridge had a tough game tonight, and we're kind of wondering what we're going to get next week, the good or the bad Lake Ridge team, as they have that big win against Clackamas. Yeah, we try to pay attention to the scores and keep tabs on all of our opponents, but it's really week-to-week focused on what we got.
Well, yeah, then there's Tiger that gets to 3-0, 51-27 over Canby. And Canby 0-3, but don't let that record deceive you. They've finally gotten away from the wing tee that Coach Doty ran all those years and trying to install a little more open offense for the Cougars.
They hired the offensive coordinator out of Beaverton, Coach Jimmy Joyce. And when we talk about young coaches coming up, the guys that are becoming head coaches that got a chance to be really good, he's one I'd bet on, and he's got a chance to turn this Canby program around. They're going to be a tough game week in, week out, and look in the next couple of years for that to be a really good team with a really good offense.
We mentioned our final here, number 6 West Lynn, a 55-14 winner over Sheldon. So the Irish fall to 0-3 for the first time in we can't remember. West Lynn improves to 2-1.
Why you got to do that to him, Popma? 0-3 for the first time in a long time. And this West Lynn team, when we talk about you, when we watch the film later, we will see tremendous growth from this West Lynn team from week 1 to week 3. And as I've said before, look out for this West Lynn team 6 weeks from now when some of these younger guys get some reps. This is going to be a state title contender. Mark it down, because they are as good up front as anyone in the state.
Sherwood improving to 3-0. You mentioned the big win over Lake Ridge, 50-13. So the Bowman getting that wing tee firing back up. And now the new team that everybody's going to be curious about is North Medford. They improved to 3-0, a 47-19 win over Bend. And so North Medford in the driver's seat. We'll see what happens when they go to Eugene in a couple of weeks to take on Sheldon. 1, how healthy Sheldon can get. And 2, if North Medford can keep it rolling there. From the PIL, Lincoln, a 40-14 winner over Franklin. in the Metro League. Sunset all over Southridge, 57-7. So the Apollos improved to 2-1. And one of those teams, they got a wide open offense. They can put points up. It's always been a matter of when they get into the those we mentioned, the teams that have those big lines, the big linemen in the trenches, can they hold up and get stops on the defensive end?
Yeah, and that's going to be the question is are they good enough to give Jesuit a run? And with as good as Jesuit is, even without Andy Alfieri, that might be too tall a order. But Sunset, that's an impressive win. I know Southridge is going through struggles, but when you're a good team, you put away bad teams early, and they clearly did that tonight.
You heard from Rashad, a great one out of Mount Hood Community College tonight. Reynolds improves to 3-0 with a 21-14 win over Roseburg. Clackamas holds off Beaverton 39-19, so the Cavaliers get their first win, handing the Beavers their first loss. Mountainside is 2-1. The Fighting Manions over there with their first class of seniors, a 35-0 win over Sandy. West Salem improves to 2-1, 23-13 over Grant. A little more low scoring than maybe we thought. But the Titans, a young group, we saw them opening week against Lake Oswego, unable to contain Casey Filkins, but now starting to learn, develop, make some progress for Coach Stanley. Newburgh, 41-0 over Summit. The Tigers are now 4-1. Summit drops to 0-3. Liberty in a shootout knocks out the Panthers from South Medford, 53-41. Glencoe, who's back at the 6A level in the Pacific League, a 21-8 win over Roosevelt. So the Crimson Tide is 2-1. South Salem getting a big victory, 24-14 over McMinnville. Those are the 6A scores as we have them. Anything catch your eye there? As Luke's listening in with us.
I think that Mountainside team, it's obviously a young program starting off. It's a new school, but I think they have a chance to build something special there, something dangerous that can really disrupt the PIL and give them that boost that they've been looking for a couple years now.
Look at the analysis from Popma. Paving the way on the ground.
You're going to be a communications major out of Georgetown? Is that what's going on?
Business and minor in political science.
I was a business major, too. Here I am doing high school
football.
Tell you
what, I'm enjoying it, though.
There you go. No, it's fun. We go to 5A. Number one, Thurston, holding off a challenge from third-ranked Crater, 31-20, so the Colts get to 3-0. The other fun one tonight, number four, Silverton, holding off number five, Lebanon, 29-25. So the Foxes move to 3-0. Lebanon suffering its first loss. Number six, Wilsonville, spoiling Dirt's fun, handing Cleveland its first loss, 66-7.
Ouch.
Yeah, Dirt was giving me crap for not including them in our look ahead, and he'll hear about that on Monday. 10th-ranked Ashland improves to 3-0, 60-6 over Ridgeview. Hood River, a 30-27 victory over Park Rose. Sorry, Sprague. The Broncos fall to 0-2. Pendleton all over Putnam, 62-21. And Corvallis winning the Battle of the City down there, knocking off Crescent Valley 28-6. Spartans get their first
victory. That's a big win. That's a big win for Corvallis. That's a really meaningful game. Corvallis and Crescent Valley, it's underrated because we don't cover it much up in the Portland area, but that game really matters there. That's a big win for Corvallis. Congrats to them.
One other game, St. Helens, a 49-21 winner over Milwaukee. 4A, the Fighting Dusties are 3-0. Banks holds off Marist 19-14. They were concerned about this one. Marist had a couple of guys that were on the Sheldon program before. A couple of big linemen go to Marist with Coach Geske down there. So further, you know, showing the depleted ranks from the Irish. They thought they were going to have a couple of guys, but Banks was concerned about this one. Coach Geske's got a crew down there at Marist.
Congrats to the Fighting Dusties. Banks, surprisingly, I mean, because a 4A level, you don't think of them as having a tremendous number of highly talented prospects. They had three or four kids that ended up going and playing high-level college football off last year's state title team. They kind of breezed to that state title. So people wondered what they'd have left in the tank after losing some talent. They are probably your favorite at the 4A level to win the state title right now. The Fighting Dusties, not missing a beat.
No, the Braves roll on. Number two, Mazama is 3-0. They have a victory 21-14 over Del Notre from California. Cascade, I believe they held off North Marion 32-29, 6th-ranked Cascade. And 10th-ranked Tillamook, no problems with Junction City, 49-6 there. The Cheesemakers are 3-0. Staten, a 49-20 victory over Cottage Grove. So those are the scores as we have them. Mike, one last check if we missed anything important there. Lake Oswego did have a big lead over Oregon City.
Yeah, I did not get an update from that since you last saw it. You got all the ones that I saw.
And so you can go to osaa.org there as the schools wrap things up. The ADs, they'll put the finishing touches on it. Jefferson, a 50-14 winner over Century. So the Democrats with a nice victory there. And Glencoe, as we mentioned, beating Roosevelt. Just glancing at the 5A one more time.
No major surprises tonight. When you go over the 6A and the 5A level, you don't see anything. I think Banks' win might be the most intriguing at the 4A level, but everything kind of went the way we expected. Although, if we're picking a team of the week, and we don't normally do this, but I think you have to give Sherwood a tremendous amount of credit for what they did to a talented Lakeridge team that's very good, obviously led by Jalen John, the running back and Arizona commit. That was a statement win for them. They've been thinking they're a top 10 team for a while now, and the way you prove it is winning games like they did against Lakeridge tonight. So credit to the Bowmen.
So there you go. That will wrap things up for us here this evening and put a bow on this one. Next week, it'll be interesting. We are going to be at Clackamas, so we'll get a chance to look at the Cavaliers under new leadership, and we will see the number one 2A team with Hawkinson losing last week to Archbishop
Tumwater,
Moody.
Right?
Tumwater became the number one 2A team in Washington, so they are going to come down and take on Clackamas, a matchup you don't see very often, and it should be pretty interesting. Excited to see, because there's some of those 2A teams at the top that, let's just say, there's some interesting math to keep their enrollment at the 2A level.
Oh, is that what you're going to call it, interesting math?
Interesting math.
Let's just say I'd write a column or two if it happened in Oregon. Let's put it that way. It's interesting math. You're
and
right.
Those some of those teams at the top, it's some interesting math to make sure they stay at the 2A level. But Tumwater is a traditional power at that level, and so it'll be interesting to see what Clackamas has in store for them next week.
And just in general, I think Oregon does a great job. The Oregon high school teams, the Powers, the Westlands, the Central Catholics, the Jesuits, they all play each other early. So they don't do what the SEC does or the Pac-12 does, where they play, you know, FCS level programs. They're playing real teams. But week four is when it starts to get really real with the league schedule, and we'll find out. We'll get some separation between the men and the boys, you know, games like Westland and Lakeridge. We're going to start seeing games like that on the slate week in, week out, and that'll be a lot of fun, particularly in the TRL, which as Popma accurately says up here in the booth,
yep,
it is the SEC of Oregon high school football, the TRL.
No question about it. So that'll do it for us tonight. Luke Popma, thanks so much for coming up and joining us. That was fun.
Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll get you home, get you a meal, get you a shower, and enjoy the week. You got big plans for the weekend?
Nothing right now. Looking at film on to Lakeridge.
Listen to that. He's already in the mode. Looking at film, getting ahead. Chris Miller done such a good job.
I'm telling you, man, this Westland program,
drained,
top to bottom.
This program, looking
year-round
at film. Well, I hope you have a little fun in there in between. Should be a good weekend. So we appreciate Luke stopping by. Want to thank Mark Horak and Ian Lamont and the entire crew here at Westland, plus head coach Chris Miller for his help with information throughout the week. Coach Line, Josh Line, with Sheldon as well for help with their information. As always, so many people to thank. Mike Lynch back in the studio holding down the fort. Our field reporters, Will Darkins, Rashad Taylor, and, of course, Luke Anderson from our game over on 910 ESPN Portland.
Just very quickly, also, get well soon to Gunnar Robinson.
Yes.
The spinal cord injury, he's obviously here tonight. He's walking around. He's talking. Everything's normal. But hoping he gets to play contact sports again in his life. So we are absolutely, all of us at 1080, rooting for his recovery and rooting for the very best for that young man.
No question. No question. You don't ever want to see injuries like that at this level. Reminder for you that coming up tomorrow here on The Fan, We'll have Center and Saint at 9 o'clock. Then we'll get into our pregame show. We'll reprise the Ducks coaches show at 11. And then game day starts at noon. Dirt will be in studio with Anthony Newman. And then at 2 o'clock, we turn it over to Jerry Allen and the Ducks radio broadcast crew as they are down on the farm at Stanford. 4 o'clock kick. That'll be on ESPN as well. And then Dusty will be in the studio for the postgame show sometime around 7:30-ish, 8, somewhere in there. Over on 910, early riser, 8:30 a.m. pregame, 9 o'clock kick, Michigan and Wisconsin.
Ooh.
Number 11, number 13, as they get into Big Ten play. So that'll be for you if you're up doing early chores.
Jonathan Taylor, the best running back in the country for Wisconsin. Worth checking out.
And then the Seahawks and Saints Sunday for you here on the Fan. 11 o'clock pregame, 1:25 kick. We'll have a doubleheader for you, NFL doubleheader from ESPN Radio over on 910 starting at 9 o'clock. So plenty of football coming at you all weekend long here on the Fan and 910 ESPN Portland. Thanks to – what was that?
And Rashad and I have football Sunday,
9 a.m.
on Sunday.
Of course. Mike and Rashad will be in there from 9 to 11 trying to figure out the whole next scene for one Antonio Brown and recap the entire slate of college football action for you. So that'll be at 9 before Seahawks pregame kicks in. Thanks to Dakota Cornelius, our on-site engineer here, getting us all set up here in the booth at West Lynn. And we look forward to talking to you next Friday from Clackamas High School. Tumwater taking on the Cavaliers. That'll do it for us tonight. For Andrew Nemec, I'm Jason Swigart. Have a very good night.